Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today, I interview my good friend, Aaron Powell, who's been married for 3 years, coming this July to his beautiful wife, Naisha, and the father to his beautiful four-month-old daughter, Paisley. He's also in the United States Air Force, and he's the treasurer of Ford, Inc., a nonprofit organization based out in the DMV. I met Aaron at church doing parking lot ministry, and there are times when you just connect with somebody. It just happens. Just something clicks. We're just like, this is someone I need to connect to. And this guy was definitely it. He comes today with his story about what he learned in forgiveness in fatherhood, which is actually part one of the series that's starting today. And I loved everything that he said. And I want you all to just listen in on this episode. Also, to all the new and seasoned listeners, I wanted to ask you to please leave us a 5-star written review. It helps the podcast get more reach. We would greatly appreciate it. And now, without further ado, here's the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Power Forgiveness podcast episode. My name is Dwayne Staten, and today I have my good friend Aaron Powell. Say what's up to the people.
What's going on, y'all? How y'all feeling today?
Yeah, man. So this is my man's 50 grand, Aaron. We go to the same church, Union Church now, a former Destiny Church. And you know how when you just meet a group of people, there's some people you automatically connect to. Aaron was one of those people. It's like when I saw him, I was like, my spirit was just like, that's a good dude to get to know. And
I appreciate that, dude.
I mean, you know, God's never wrong. So I'm really glad that he connected us. I really, really, really glad for that. I really am.
I agree with that too. I feel the same way. Like you said, I think we ended up having like a next step conversation together one day, for you joining the team. And it was just an instant connection, like you said, and everything just flowed naturally. It felt like we knew each other for years, and I didn't know you from a can of paint, but it just felt, you know, good. So
yeah, man. And like my man's Aaron, he is a new dad like me, and yes, he has a wonderful, beautiful daughter, man, and I'm just proud of him. I really am, man. To see him as a dad, man, just, he a full adult. We both like whole grown adults,
right,
now.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? It's crazy. It came quick too.
It did.
It's scary out here sometimes, but you know, it's cool.
It is, man. And another thing is that I didn't tell you this. I wanted to tell you this was that, you know, I know you serve in, you know, the military. Which mm-hmm. branch is this?
The Air Force.
You're serving the Air Force. And I just want to say thank you for your service, bro. Like, for real. Thank you for that.
Thank you for your support, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, look, my dad was in the Army, my cousin's in the Air Force, another cousin's in the Coast Guard, Nate, like, my family was in all branches, so trust me, like, definitely, definitely show my love and support. It's nothing here.
We truly appreciate you, bro, and I appreciate them, too. I didn't know that. I feel like I should have known that, but I don't think I knew that about, like, your side of the family serving in the military. Man. That's what's up, man, all branches.
Yeah, man, it's either military or law enforcement. So one of the two. But yeah, so I'm going to start off with the icebreaker, keep things light and fun. So what is your favorite place of all the places you travel to?
Oh, that's an easy one. So out of all the places that I've traveled to, my favorite place would have to be the Philippines.
Ooh.
The reason being, not everybody knows this, but I'm part Filipino, like on my mom's side. So like my grandma, I call her Lola, that's what we call her in Tagalog. And my family and I, we went there, I was still in high school, like in 2009, and we stayed there for 2 weeks. We went to where my Lola is originally from. It's this part of the Philippines called Kampapanga.
Okay.
And I've never been there up until that point. And the only thing I knew about the Philippines was like my Lola was Filipino. And I knew some of the dishes like adobo and lumpia and pancit, all that stuff.
Oh yeah, I heard
But
of
when
those.
we oh, it's fire. And I know how to make it now, so you know, it's cool. My wife knows how to make it too, so we be, you know, in the kitchen. But when we went, as soon as we like touched down, I instantly felt like I was at home. Like I knew where I was, like I felt like I belonged there. And then just getting to meet my relatives that I even knew existed. Like they treated us like royalty. Like it felt like I've never felt like that anywhere else except for there. Like I didn't want to leave. Every morning, every day was a feast. Every night was a party. The scenery there was amazing. The people there they're always grinding, but they're very polite. It was just beautiful over there. And I definitely plan on taking my wife and my daughter, or if we even have any more kids by that time, to the Philippines, because I want them to be able to, at least for my kids, to experience that some part of their roots, and then my wife to see like where I came from, in a sense, like some of my heritage. So, but yeah, Philippines, easily, hands down, the dopest place I've been to, and I plan on going back eventually.
Facts. That's beautiful. You want to take your daughter there. Honestly, I'm gonna tell you right now, that would be a beautiful experience. It really would. You know what I mean? And oh, that's beautiful. For me, I'm gonna say it. One is off the bat, like you, Japan. I loved Japan, dog. Like, first off, I'm a huge nerd. Like, anime, heroes, all of that. I went to Tokyo and I went to, where did they take me? I can't remember. What was it, Yokosuka? I think it was Yokosuka and Harajuku. Dog, I lost my mind.
When was this?
This was, I'm gonna say, twenty fourteen, 2015, maybe.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow. Okay.
Yo, like I loved it, man. Like I saw everything that I loved as a little kid. I saw Gundam. I saw
That's
Pokemon. I saw
it.
Digimon. I saw so much stuff, and I literally lost my mind. They now. Sadly, this place closed down. You play the game Street Fighter, right?
Yes, of course.
All right, so you know it was made by Capcom, right?
Yeah.
They had a Capcom-themed bar that I went to.
It
Yeah.
closed down now, though.
It closed down. That it broke my heart because I wanted to go back. It was like they had Capcom video game themed dishes. Like they had Blanca nachos. They had
What?
Resident Evil ribs. They had so many dishes that was based off of video games. When I tell you I lost my mind, I lost my mind.
I would have spazzed.
Dude, and also I'm a big foodie, so I ate my weight down there, right?
As
One
you should.
story, I found this restaurant called Pepper Lunch. It is so good. Anyway, so went to Pepper Lunch, got the signature dish, right? And everybody's like, you eat one dish, you're done, right? Not this guy. So I ate the signature dish, right? And I said, dang, I'm still hungry. I want it again. So I went to, order it again. And I went to, I ordered the food through the ticketing system and I gave it to the chef. The chef, grabbed the ticket and was just like,
Confused, like you want
he was
another one?
like,
Yes, sir. Yes,
I was
sir.
like,
That's what I ordered.
and he just looked at me like, okay. And I tore that dish down. So the food was great, the places was great. And I ain't gonna, I'm not, I'll tell you, I have to tell you this story later. We found a secret bar.
Okay.
I'll bottom line it. You know how here you have these old apartment buildings that look like they're abandoned. It said the for lease sign. It was right in there. We walked to
Really?
the second floor of that apartment building. And I'm just like, oh, we about to get killed.
Right, y'all about to get taken.
We about to get taken. We opened the door. It was the most immaculate bar I've ever seen in my life.
How y'all stumble upon that?
CNN.com, surprisingly. They had secret bars, but I was like, we ain't gonna find it. We found it. And when I tell you, like, it was the most immaculate place I have ever seen in my life.
I'm gonna have to. You're gonna have to like afterwards send me the name of the place because I plan on going there for my 30th in 2023. We're planning on going to Tokyo. So you're gonna have to send me like all the places you went to so we could check them out. And then I definitely want to check out. You play Mario Kart, right?
Oh yeah.
They got a life size like Mario Kart. You can actually play like be in.
I saw that.
Like the Autobahn on steroids. So yeah. Definitely gonna check that out.
Oh my gosh, man. I'm telling you, Japan is the place. Like you want to take your daughter, I want to take my son and be like, look, all the stuff Learned that your out. Dad yeah. loves, all the stuff yeah. that your dad loves, you'll see the origin. You're yes. welcome.
Yeah. You could take me an hour later, but I know you're gonna just thank me eventually. So
that's a fact. Right now I just want to get into it because me and you, you know, we're both new dads, and I wanted to talk about forgiveness and fatherhood. So I wanted to just have that combo with you about what you learned about forgiveness within fatherhood. So the floor is yours, sir.
So fatherhood, like you said, I'm new to it. Got a beautiful baby girl who will be 4 months tomorrow on the 28th. It's crazy. It's going by fast. But forgiveness and fatherhood, I can remember growing up with my father, or like with both of my parents, but we're talking about father. So with my dad, Aaron Sr., he was also in the military. But I can remember growing up, I loved basketball. I still love basketball to this day. But like, I loved basketball, but my dad wanted to take that and elevate it. So he's like, if you love basketball, we're going to get you into the NBA. I didn't know at the time what that meant. Looking at it now, it's like, okay, no, you need to put blood, sweat, and tears into it.
Yeah.
And so at this time, like growing up, I felt like he was going, like pushing me hard and like, sometimes too hard in a sense. I can remember multiple times going, like having games and him coaching me from the sideline, but it didn't feel like coaching. It was more so like him berating me.
Yeah.
I was just like, what's going on? But like going through that was tough, but I can tell like from looking at it now, it's just like he believed in my love for the game, and he wanted to help me maximize it. And I had to learn to understand where he was coming from.
Yeah.
Just because like it was, like I said, it was tough going through that, just hearing my dad like, what are you doing? You suck. You're not supposed to do that. Do this. We worked on. I'm just like, dad, I'm trying. But it's like now it's like, okay, he was trying to instill in me like excellence in all we do. We're not going to go out there and we're not going to give half our energy, half our effort, none of that. We're going to practice like today is the championship game. You're going to practice how you play. And I didn't understand that concept until I was older. So now thinking about that now is like, granted, my daughter is only 4 months old, but I want to instill in her even now that we're anything we do, we need to strive to be the best at it. Not like in a conceited way, not in a conceited way, but like we're gonna give our best effort. But I have to learn how to do it in a way that even going through it, she knows that it's coming from a place of love. She's not gonna feel attacked. She's not gonna feel berated, less than, or any of that. She's gonna feel elevated. She's gonna know that that I love her and I support her, and I'm not trying to hurt her at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So that was, I don't know, man. Like it was tough. I remember being in high school, and at this point, I was playing for my high school, and so my dad wasn't necessarily coaching me anymore, but he was playing for the local YMCA.
Okay.
And I remember going to one of his games, and I dished back all the years of him like yelling and screaming and all that stuff. I let him have it. And my mom pulled me aside one day, like not one day, at the game. She was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "This is what he did to me. He out there playing dumb, you know, got us looking bad. No, like, no." And then she was like, "You know why he did all that when you were younger?" And I was like, "No, because he just was up. He wanted to be tough." She was like, "No, because he wanted you to be the best." Uh-huh. Now that's when I had that. Oh,
yeah, that aha moment.
All this time I had some resentment towards you when it came to basketball and like all this other thing, but now I get it. So yeah, man, like there's a lot that I'm learning as I continue this journey of being a new father. Mm-hmm. Like from what my dad did, like there's a lot of takeaways, that positive takeaways that I can take from my father too. Like outside of basketball, he was always present. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people in general that can't really say they had a present father. And I don't mean like present physically, because like I said, he was in the military, so sometimes duty called and he had to be away for work. But any moment he could, to whether that was being at a game, being at a recital, being at swim practice, or a family dinner, whatever it may be, if he couldn't be there physically, he was gonna make a phone call to let us know, like, "Hey, I might not be there physically, but you know, I love you. I wish I was there. I apologize for not being there, but you know, I love you and I'm here with you." And I can remember specifically when we lived in New Mexico. This was when Transformers came out, or was not, it hasn't came out yet, but they were working on it. So in Transformers, they were actually shooting some scenes in New Mexico at Holloman Air Force Base, where both my parents were stationed.
Oh, snap.
And my dad got like a call up to like play this major speaking scene in the movie, but he ended up turning it down because they were calling him at like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, saying like, "Hey, we need you to come, like, you know, do some of these lines to see if like you'd be a good fit." And he was just like, "No, I gotta get up like in a couple of hours, one for work, but two to make sure that I'm there with my kids, to make sure that I get them ready for school, get them fed, take them to like to school and all that stuff." And I was just like, wow, like you, yeah, you know, gave up an opportunity to potentially take a different career path and just put us on, not us, but put yourself like in a possibly better, at least financial place, but you took it upon yourself to sacrifice and spend more time with us. And I was just like, wow, that says a lot. Like, yeah, you really like want to be here. And
yeah,
words can't express how, you know, grateful I am. Just thinking about that now is just like, I want to be an actor one day. It's like, I would like to think I would make that same type of decision, but it's like, I will never know until I'm in that situation.
Right.
But seeing him do that was just like, wow, that's what it means to be. That's part of being a good father, is like knowing when to sacrifice, and knowing when and how to be present. So those are like some main takeaways I'm taking away right now from my father. Like I said, there's a lot, but you know, I could talk forever, bro. Go ahead.
No, that's good. We want to hear all that. That I pulled a lot from that. One, he saw the potential in you and was pulling mm-hmm. it out. Mm-hmm. Even though at that time you didn't see it, now you did.
Yeah.
And that became the aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I grab from that is you want to do that with your daughter, but with put a different twist on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my question is, when you had that aha moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you had that moment, like what was going on in your, like, what were you feeling in your body at that moment, like in your mind, like
when my mom pulled me aside and told me that, and I had that aha moment, it was just like, it felt like time froze in that moment. Because and I in that moment, I remembered going through every single practice that I went through as a kid, from early, like from the age of like five to like the eighth grade, every single practice, every single game, every single time he was coaching on the sideline, every single time he got kicked out of some games for like yelling so much at the referees and stuff. And I looked at it from that point on, I looked at it from a different viewpoint, a different perspective, because I was looking at it initially from a kid who enjoyed playing basketball, and just wanted to see, you know, what I could do with it and go out there and have fun.
Yeah.
And I looked at it from like, dang, my dad's just riding me. He's being tough. Like he's like expects way too much. And I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. I went from that perspective to looking at it from his side, from like, oh, okay, I see that my son has like talent and he actually enjoys the game. Let's see if I can bring some more, you know, out of him, give him more skills, equip him with more tools that'll make him more valuable, not just on the court, but in life in general. With him, because like I said, with him being so hard, that was him expressing like, hey, we are going to be excellent in all we do. So that literally means outside of basketball, you're going to be excellent in school. You're going to be excellent at home. You're going to be excellent with your friends. You're going to be excellent at work whenever you get a job, all that stuff. You're going to be excellent when you have your own family. Yeah. I didn't see it from that viewpoint when I was a child. Like, it's in the, like, it's, that's biblical. Like, when I was a child, I thought like a child. But like I had that moment. I was like, okay, now I'm older. I get it now. So yeah, time literally just froze.
Yeah.
And then once I was done thinking about it, I was like, oh. And I literally, like, at halftime, I went up to my dad and I was like, hey, I get it now. I'm still gonna be hard on you, but I get it now. I get what you was trying to do all them years back. He was like, yeah. Hey, I'm glad you get it. Keep being hard on me. I need it. Because, you know, you see things now that how I used to see them. So,
yeah,
man, it was great.
Yeah, that's, I like that. I like that. So did that make you see him in a different light?
Yeah, I like that aha moment made me see him in a different light. Like I said, he was loving, don't get me wrong, but oh, yeah. he could be very stern, like, and strong in his ways. And like I said, he wanted to make sure we were excellent. His motto was, when you do something, make sure it's done right the first time, on time, every time. And like, I'm not perfect. I'm at the time, I'm only six. I don't know how to, you know,
right.
I'm just now learning how to, you know, do math and stuff. But it was like growing up, like, I was like, this dude is tough. Like, is he a robot? Like, he expects perfection right out the gate. But I was missing the underlying tone of what he meant by first time, on time, every time. It was like, you're going to do it, make sure you're doing it right, as in you're putting all your energy into it. You're utilizing every single resource you have to get it done the first time, on time, and every time. That doesn't mean you're going to get it right all the time. That just means you're utilizing everything. And if you come to me and you've utilized everything and you're still not getting it done, okay, then I'll step in. But yeah. I was missing that.
Yeah.
Like, growing up, I was like, I don't really like this dude. Like, I love my father. I love my father. Don't get me wrong. I love my father. But in the moment, I don't like him.
Yeah.
It's like, I see it now. I'm just like, I am my father's child. I'm not going to say I treat my friends the same way, but I have expectations of my friends, like of you, of my wife, of... Yeah. Even my own parents, of like some level of excellence, and I can attribute that to my father, and absolutely. I'm thankful for that too. Like, if I'm giving my best, I expect like that to be reciprocated, not necessarily at the same level, but I expect you to be able to give your best, whatever that may be. If you see me out there giving my best, I want you to give your, you know, match my energy.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Wholeheartedly agree with that. One thing that, not one thing, but another thing that stuck out to me was that even though he wasn't always there physically, he was present.
Yeah.
And that's key, because the opposite could happen where even though he was there, he really wasn't there. And to me, that's worse.
Yes, definitely.
That's worse. But for in your case, he was like, look, I'm not there physically, but look, I'm here for you. And that honestly, that goes a long way. So
it's crazy. Yeah. Not to cut you off, but it's crazy like going through that now. My wife and I have had moments where I'll be at home, like I'll come home from work and like we'll be relaxing, the TV will be on, we'll have like a show on, but I'll be like on my phone thinking about like the day, or you know, just detached from my wife or like the living room space.
Yeah.
And like she'll be talking and I'll be like, oh yeah. Yeah, sure. Huh, what? And then like I think one time she was like, you're here, but you're not here. Like, do you get that? And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, I don't want my kids, especially my wife. I don't want my wife or my kids to see like, yeah, he was there physically, but he wasn't there to enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I don't want to miss out on moments. Now, I'm not saying I get that right all the time. I mean, I am human, but you know,
I'm not gonna lie, I'd be guilty of that too.
Happens, man.
It does. And I was like, babe, I'm sorry. It's not intentional. It's really not. It's not intentional. It's just, I can't explain. It just happens. I'm sorry.
Babe, look, charge it to my head, not my heart. You know,
My motto, man. That's my motto for a lot of stuff. Because I'll be like, look, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. All right. But then something else will be like, oh, Sam, I got to address this. Then I got to address this. Yeah. Next thing you know, it's evening. Like, weren't you supposed to do this?
Right.
Weren't you supposed to do this? You know, I had meant to do that. Like, but yeah, that, oh gosh. But my question is, since, like, I know with that said, like, he was always present. How did that affect you with that?
I think it was great. Like, just because, like, I knew I could count on my father to be there for me.
Yeah.
Whether that was a project, whether that was I needed advice. Like to this day, I still go to my father for advice. I'm a grown man, 28 years old, got my own house, own cars, own child, like wife. Like I got my own family, but still to this day, I still go to my father.
That's facts.
For some advice on like, hey, I'm thinking about like investing, or I'm thinking about this career change. Since he was in the Air Force, I go to him a lot for like Air Force questions and all that stuff. But even outside of that, with marriage and stuff, or how to raise kids, like, hey, Paisley's going through this right now. Did I go through that, or did any of my siblings go through that when, you know? So it was just knowing that, being confident that my father would be there at the drop of a dime, whether that was a phone call or him being there physically present, was great, and to this day is still great. Because I say to this day, because I know I could call him right now and be like, hey dad, I need some advice, or hey dad, if you can you be here like on X day or whatever, and he will move hell in high water to make sure he answers that question, or he gets to me if I ever needed that help. So just knowing that I have the confidence that my dad will show up, just crazy. It's like, that's how we view God.
Yeah.
It's like, because he shows up when we need him. Not, it might not be on at our time, but God knows he's going to provide for you whenever you need it.
Yeah. And
like, I see my earthly father, my dad, doing that too. So it's just like, if my dad's doing that, how much more is God going to do? So it's just good seeing how my dad was and still to this day is just present and is just there. And that's something I strive to do for my kids, because like I keep saying it, he was in the military, so that means like he went on deployments and he was gone for like sometimes for months. I think one time he was gone for like a year when we were living in England. But I remember even in that time, he would still make phone calls. He would still send letters, all this stuff, like talking about his day, asking me and my mom about our day, what we've been through. And so it was like, even though he wasn't physically there, his presence was always felt.
Yeah.
That's something I want to try to emulate. Not want to. That's something I try to emulate every single day, just trying to be present.
Yeah. I feel that. My dad, he was in the army. He left for Germany for 9 months. That was the hardest 9 months. I'd say that was hard for me. You know what I mean? Because I missed my dad. You know what I mean? And then when he came home, like, I almost cried. I was a little kid. Like, why am I crying? Why am I crying? Like, I never understood it. You know what I mean? But it's a lot. And when you said your dad, it shows this love for you, how much more does God? It brought this verse to me. It was Matthew 7:11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
Right. Now,
your father being the good person that he is, showing this love and showering you with all of this, it was just like the predecessor of like, how much more will God do for you? And that's amazing.
Right.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
And like, it's when you think about it that way, it's like, wow, like he's already like showing, my dad's already showing up, or my father's already showing up like this, showing love like this.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how God is going to, you know, show that much more. Like I can't even fathom that. But I mean, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So of course he's going to think and move and function in a totally different level than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. So
absolutely.
I guess my dad, you know, he set the bar high, but it's just because he set the high doesn't mean he right here. God is,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man, just to think about it.
That is crazy. So I want to ask this, what have you learned about forgiveness being a dad?
What have I learned about forgiveness while being a dad? Paisley hasn't, well, no, she... Even though she's only about to be 4 months now, like she's done things that is very minor. Like I even laughed about it in the moment. Like she'll poop on me or she'll throw up on me. And I know for some people that could be a trigger, like, oh my, get this baby. But like in this moment, I'm like, I'll be a little hot. Like, especially if I got like a good outfit on. Like,
dog. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Like, bruh, like you couldn't wait. Like there's one time my wife and I went on a walk. Like, I think it was like 3 miles or something like that. And then we came back home and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm holding her. I'm holding my daughter on my lap. And next thing I know, my legs get warm. So I'm like, okay, maybe she farted. But then it gets like, it's still warm. Like it's a lingering heat. And I'm wearing like these new Nike shorts I had and stuff. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? I lift her up. It's a puddle. Cause you know that she a baby. So baby poop is liquid. It's like a smoothie. I'm like, it's a puddle of poop literally on my lap. I'm like, Bruh, I'm exhausted from this walk.
Yo.
I'm hot. And now you got poop on me. Like,
yo, oh my like, gosh.
What am I? I'm in that moment, I was like, babe, come get your daughter. Come get your, in that moment, she was her daughter.
Yeah.
She was her daughter.
I was like,
come get her. I need to. But it's like, hey, it happens. Like, she a baby. She don't know what she's doing. It happens. Yeah. You can't take it serious. So I guess in that sense, it was just like, yeah, forgive her, but just don't take things so, things aren't always as serious as you think they are.
I like that.
Like in the moment, it could, you might think it's a 10, but you never know. Even minutes or hours or days later, you revisit that situation. You're just like, that wasn't nearly as serious as I thought it would be. So yeah. Like, if I would have reacted in a negative way, like, what the f-? And like, you know, thrown her or whatever it may be, or just spazzed out, that would have been terrible, because that situation in itself was just nothing to be mad about. It's clothes. I could wash them. And that's what I did. But it's like how you react in situations when they're happening can affect like how you view, how your kids will view you in the long run. So it's like you gotta know when to react, know how to react. And then if you react negatively, you have to learn how to be able to forgive yourself. That's a big thing. Because like some people will have, like they'll go through something and the person they wronged will forgive them long before the person forgives themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the person that they wronged has already forgiven them, and that person is already living in peace, walking the way they should be, and just living life to the fullest. Yeah. Meanwhile, the person who did the wrongdoing that hasn't forgiven themselves is just like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm a terrible person. I shouldn't be acting like that. When you just need to forgive yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
If you forgive forgiving yourself is tough, but is necessary.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. When I tell you that was a whole word, Bishop, Reverend, Dr. Aaron, that was a whole word. Wow. Give me a minute to sit with that. That's a whole word. So let me go back to the pooping situation. Because I've had to deal with that a lot. And I just look like I could... I love my son. And there are times he does stuff, I'd just be like, Tobias, come on, man. Like, really? Yeah. And there are times where I'd be like, honey, come get your son. And there are times she'll be like, you'll be like, Dwayne, come get your, this is your son. You have to deal with him. And it's like that. There are times where I've gotten to the point where I'm just gotten to like a 10. I'm just like, oh my gosh. But I realized like you said, he's a baby. He don't know no better. He don't know what he's doing. He just got here. Definitely. I'm just like, I'm a whole adult. I should know this by now. And forgiving yourself is necessary. It says in 1 John 1:9 that God forgives us of all of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was someone who said this to me and I had this aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
If God can forgive us and we don't forgive ourselves, are we better than God?
Ooh.
That punched me in the mouth. Because I was like, wait a minute. So if God thinks I'm worthy enough to be forgiven, that's like me telling, that's like, perfect example.
That's like
example.
You saying, God, you're wrong. No.
Isaiah works like filthy rags, slapping his face. Like, anyway, it's like this. That's like you saying, that's like me saying, Aaron, I want to bless you with $100 million. I'm just blessing you with $100 million.
Man. I will receive that in Jesus.
But then you'd be like, nah, man, I don't deserve it. Oh, no. I know. I just wanted to gift it to you. I don't deserve it. Don't give it to me. That's in the same way. It's like this free gift that God gives to us. We don't want to accept it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I need it.
Bro, who are you telling?
You know what I mean? And that just really punched me in the face. So you just spoke a whole word. Like, it's so necessary to forgive yourself.
Yes. I got a question for you.
Sure.
So I'm actually just bounce that question that you gave to me. I'm gonna bounce it right back to you. What is something you've learned about forgiveness while being a new father?
Oh, good question. Throw it back to the interviewer.
Yes, sir.
What I had to learn, I had to be patient with both my son and myself.
Okay.
And to give myself grace when I lose that patience.
Yeah.
Reason being is I'm still human. I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that even though I know he's a child, there's still times that's going to, there's still going to some things that he's going to do that's going to upset me. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to let things roll off the tongue. I mean, roll off my back. But I have to remember that, Dwayne, you're human. And he is a baby. If you get upset, it's okay. The Bible says be angry, but don't sin.
Yes. You better know your word, bro. Come on now.
I mean, like, I was like, okay, you can be angry. It happens. But you got to remember he's a baby and you love him. And there are times the Holy Spirit will convict me. Like, Tobias will get on my nerves. Like, when he's hungry, he will scream his lungs out. Like, there is no calming him down.
Right.
And it's irking me because I'm like, son, your bottle's warming. It's okay. He can't understand me. I'm thinking I'm having a full-grown conversation.
He just want to eat.
You know what I mean? And he gets on my, and I'm just like, I get so angry. And then the Holy Spirit is like, kiss your son. What am I going to kiss my son for? He get on my nerves.
Right.
He's all right. Like, kiss your son. And I kiss him and be like, I love you, man. And I just hug him and I just like, that's my man. I love him.
Yeah.
Then his bottle's ready and I feed him and he's just the calmest person. He's like,
Like nothing ever happened.
Like nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And that's what I had to learn is like, you got to forgive him. And another thing, love him during the tantrums. Yeah, that's another thing. Love him during the tantrums because God does it with
us. So hard sometimes.
Yeah, you know I mean,
it's
like
so hard.
It is, and God be doing it with us. Think about it. Don't he be doing it with us? How many times we said, God, how can you allow this to happen? Why is this person getting blessed but not me? Or why do good bad things happen to good people? Or all these other tantrums, and God just looking at us, he just kisses like, you okay now? You good? Okay.
Right.
Time to get up and keep going.
Set yourself off and try again. Come on now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, that's what I had to learn.
It's crazy you brought up the like the grace and patience. Like I can attest to that, especially with my daughter. So she doesn't like scream or like that when she's hungry. She just gives you like this death stare. But when it's time to put her to bed, or when she wakes up in the middle of the night, there are times where, like, I try to console her. I'll pick her up because she sleeps with us right now. Like, we're still co-sleeping. But I'll pick her up, and she'll get fed, and then I'll try to rock her to sleep.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this child is, let me go. Arms crawling. Just, she hit me in my face. Fighting her sleep. I'm just like, why are you're really starting to, and like you start holding her a little tighter, like, come on girl, like,
yo, that's real, like, you
try to rock her.
Yup.
I'm like, and then it's like that I'll find myself getting frustrated to the point where I'm like, you know what, you can just stay up and cry, I'm gonna get my rest, but that's not what I need to do. And thank God I have a patient wife who sees things from a different perspective than I do sometimes. So like, she can see that I'm getting frustrated. She'll be like, hey, hand her over. Let me try something. And
you sure you ain't got no cameras in my house? Cause you speaking about me right now. Like that.
Yeah, but look, your wife and my wife, they're one and the same. It's crazy. And it in the moment, it doesn't help because it's like, I'll hand her over and then Paisley will get in her arms and go right to sleep, and that will get me hot. I'll be like, what she got that I don't? What she do that I didn't do? She literally picked you up, did the exact same thing I did, and you fall asleep in 0.2 seconds. But then it was like, I sit there, and I gotta think of the positives. Okay, I might not have been able to get her to go back to sleep, but she's back to sleep now. The battle's won. And my wife would be like, you just gotta be patient. Like, you just got to give her more time. Yeah, she's sleepy. She's fighting her sleep. Remember, at one point in time where you used to do that to your parents.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you're right. Yeah. I gotta be more patient. Yeah. I gotta be more understanding. I gotta get with the fact that she's growing. She can't verbally tell me, hey dad, hey stupid, I'm tired, but I don't know how to fall asleep right now. So like, yeah, she can't verbally tell me. She can only that, like her wailing and, you know, flailing her arms, that is the only way she can communicate right now. So it's just like, okay, I gotta be patient, not just with putting her to sleep, but just be patient enough to understand what the different cries mean, what the flailing means, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And give myself grace, knowing the fact I'm not gonna know how to do this stuff because I'm new to it.
Yeah.
I gotta learn it. I gotta go through it. I gotta pick people's brains. Like you, we have babies that are relatively the same age, about like a week difference in age. But we might go through similar situations. You might go different situations, but knowing we can bounce ideas back off of each other and learn from one another, that's something that I've been trying to utilize whenever situations come up from time to time. And it's just, like I said, giving myself that grace, knowing that I don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
But God will provide either answers directly to me or the people around me the answers that I can pull from. So.
And that's something I also want to emphasize to everyone listening. Community is important. Facts. Community is important. Like, as the old saying goes, it takes a village. It really does. And, you know, no man is an island. So having a community helps. Like you, I've talked to my dad. He was over here today and with my mom. And he was like, oh, your son has trouble falling asleep. He reminds me of you when you were younger. And I'm just like, huh? He recalled the story, but he was like, Dwayne, when you wouldn't go to sleep, we would put you in the car and we would drive around the neighborhood where we live. Like, the neighborhood was a circle. So they just drove around the circle. We would drive in the circle. And then when you were asleep, we parked at home. And as soon as we parked, we turned around to get you out of the bassinet. You woke up. You looked at us like, what are y'all doing? I love the car ride. And I'm just sitting here just like, I guess like my son has picked up.
All right, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
No, it was like, basically, I was like, I'm basically raising me. So.
Right. Like Dwayne 2.0.
It is. And I have to realize that, you know, so community is definitely important.
Yeah, like God even said, it's not good for man to be alone. Like he said that, like when creating Adam. So that's why you got to have not just like a helpmate, but like you said, a community, whether that's friends, whether that's people from church, whether that's your family, whatever your community is, to help you grow. Because not everybody's going to have the same perspective as you. So that's getting different perspectives about one situation will give you a more holistic view.
That's a
to like fact. Conquer or attack whatever it is that you're going through.
That is a fact. That's a fact.
Yes, sir.
So now, what does forgiveness mean to you?
You hit me with a heavy question. What does forgiveness mean to me? I think it's like a culmination of everything we've been talking about. Like extending grace.
Yeah.
When necessary, being patient throughout any situation, and forgiveness is not only for someone else. Forgiveness is for you as well. Everybody needs forgiveness. So whether it's self-forgiveness or you forgiving somebody else, but I think at the end of the day, forgiveness is crucial, and I think it takes a big person to truly forgive somebody.
Yeah.
To truly forgive somebody, I think it's written somewhere in the Bible. It's like you don't bring up past faults. When you when you've forgiven somebody, you don't bring up that mistake. You don't throw it back in their face. Like how you see in TV shows and stuff, or like in dramas. like there'll be some tension. Well, remember 6 years ago when you, yeah, you don't do that. Like when you truly forgive somebody. So I think it truly takes a big person. It takes courage to forgive somebody too, because even when you forgive somebody, it takes courage because after you forgive them, they can still turn around and do the same thing that puts you in that compromising situation or whatever it may be. And for some people, it's like, I don't want to necessarily forgive them because then that means I'm giving them the keys or the power to, or the go ahead to potentially put us in that situation again. But you can't look at it from that perspective. I mean, God has already forgiven us for our anything that we could potentially do or have done or will do in the future. And yet he still chooses to love us, not hold that against us and all that. He wants the best for us. And that, I mean, I think forgiveness is all of that. I feel like I rambled.
No,
I think I might've hit some, you know, some good points, but I think at the end of the day, forgiveness is very necessary.
Yeah. I'm going to tell also. So the verse I believe that you were talking about says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. That's in Isaiah 43:18.
Yes.
So I definitely wholeheartedly agree on that one. Another question that I have for you is, what is one thing that you, what do you wish that you learned earlier in your journey to forgiveness?
I wish I would have learned how to forgive myself. There were a lot of situations that I went through that I ended up unknowingly causing myself a lot of torment, like tossing and turning at night. Not feeling like myself, feeling down and depressed. Because I wouldn't forgive myself about a situation. And just be like, dang, that was stupid. Now, thinking like after I do a, like after I'd go through something, like, dang, that was stupid. Now I would start thinking thoughts like, oh, I'm a failure. I'm never going to be good at that. Oh, this wasn't meant for me. I'm never going to be good at this, or I'm never going to get that girl, or I'm never going to get that job, or I'm never going to get this family, whatever it may be. But it was like, no, you made a mistake. Move on from it. Forgive yourself and move on. You're human. You think you're the only one who makes mistakes? No, everybody makes mistakes. I think it was like a Miley Cyrus song. Everybody has those days. Everybody makes mistakes. That was like back like in the early 2000s, I think. I can't believe I just quoted something from Miley Cyrus. But, it was like, yeah, everybody makes mistakes. Don't be so hard on yourself. Like, I get it. Like, there are some situations where, like, okay, yeah, that was dumb, but you can recover from it.
Yeah.
So forgive yourself and recover from it. So I think learning how to forgive myself, if I would have learned that earlier in life, I probably would have slept more, had more peaceful sleep. I'd probably have less bags under my eyes. I probably would have had more joy going through life early on in some situations. But I mean, who knows? But yes, self-forgiveness, that was something I wish I would have learned, because I can be my biggest critic.
Dog, you and me both. You and me both. That's the crazy part.
It's tough out here, man.
It is. And what would you like to impart to the people listening?
I mean, like what my father used to say, like, whenever you're doing something, make sure you do it right the first time, on time, every time. But what I mean by that is make sure you are utilizing every resource that you have at your disposal, whether that is monetary resources, whether that is people, personnel, whether that is like knowledge, whatever it may be. Utilize everything that God has given you or has blessed you with to make sure the stuff gets done. So like my job puts this defines excellence as maximizing the resources you have at your disposal, whether that's a little or a lot. So it's like the people in the talents. The man with two talents ended up with four, or multiplied it, got to four. The man with five got 10. They took their resources and maximized it. They took what their owner gave them and maximized it when he came back. And then what happened? He blessed them even more.
Yeah.
So just being excellent and maximizing everything you have, and God will get you through it.
Yeah.
And also, don't be tough on yourself. Everybody is human. You are human at the end of the day. You will be fine. Just go through it and you'll grow stronger. That's pretty much it.
All right. Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate you coming on. And I just wanted to give you the chance to promote yourself. You got any social media where people want to connect with you, websites, whatever it is, the floor is yours. Just
let it go. I don't have any websites, but I do have some social. So if you want to find me on Instagram, it is Aaron Leonard II. So AaronLeonardII. If you want to find me on Snapchat, that's AP_dub25. I'm also on TikTok as well, but I don't go on there to create content and stuff, but it's also AP_dub25. But if you want to talk to me about military stuff, just hit me, like DM me on Instagram or whatever it may be. Family stuff, how is it being a girl dad? Because I just knew I was gonna have a boy. But God blessed me with a girl. So if you want to get information on, my journey of being in the military and being a girl dad, please, by all means, reach out to me on any of those socials. But that's pretty much it, man. I'm glad you had me as a guest. This was dope. I would love to come back some more if you would have me. But this was fun, man.
Oh, you don't have to ask. I'm going to bring you back on here for something. I'm going to find something to put you on. And honestly, maybe this is me, but as soon as you said Journey of Military and Girl Dad, that sounds like a blog idea. But that's just me.
Don't drop that seed in my head.
That's just me. I'm just a guy with the podcast. But I honestly wanted to say, for real, thank you, man. Like, you're a good brother. I look up to you. You're just an amazing person. And I know you're going to be killing. I know you're killing this husband and dad game. Whether you think you're not or you are, I'm telling you, you're killing him. I'm proud of you, man. For real.
I appreciate you, man. I really needed to hear that, because there are moments where I'm like, I'm feeling as a father or a husband. So thank you for saying that, man. That truly means a lot. And those words you said to me, I reciprocate them right back to you, bro. You were doing great. It's crazy you look up to me. I look up to you, bro. You got a whole podcast. You got your own job, your own business. You got your own family. Like, you are killing it in the game from my point of view.
This is all God, man, because if I didn't have him, I'd probably be in the insane asylum trying to figure out which way is up.
You and me both, brother.
Yeah, man.
That was an incredible episode. Oh, my gosh. And when he was talking about his dad being present there and how that affected him, oh, that was beautiful. And I know he's going to do the exact same for his beautiful daughter. I want to say thank you, Aaron, for coming on the episode. I appreciate you for coming on and just being honest. For real, I appreciate you. And again, to all the new and seasoned listeners, please leave us a 5-star written review. It definitely helps the podcast get more reach. We appreciate you. I know there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power of the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate it on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. That link is in the show notes. I also have my social media page in the show notes. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. Also, I need your help. I'm enrolled in a coaching program through my local college pursuing a certification in life coaching with the International Coach Federation. As part of the curriculum, I need to reach 100 hours in order to become certified. I'm hoping to connect with individuals who have an interest in being coached and move the needle in their life or needing help in forgiving those who have hurt them. Many people have an interest in moving from where they are to where they want to be, and coaching can be the key that unlocks that potential. I'm asking if you or anyone you know might benefit from coaching to please contact me. I would be happy to chat more about it and be grateful for the help it provides to further my qualification. Also, the first session is free. If you're interested and want to help, click on the link in my bio and schedule a session. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one.